We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we are back. It's so busy. We've hardly had a chance to talk about the Twins. We're off to a terrific start. They are leading the division. They played fewer games than anybody in baseball because of weather, but they're playing this afternoon. And joining us right now, Mitch Garver. Mitch, you're off to a good start. How does it feel to hit the ball so hard on those cold days?
Well, I'll tell you what, you got to hit the ball in the barrel if you don't want your fingers to break off. So that's really all we're trying to do.
Mitch, I've talked to you before. You know, the concussion factor, and catchers are always thinking about this. And then in spring training, you got one right up in the old wheelhouse there where they just about clipped you. What was that like? Was that a scary moment? Because it seemed like you came back right and played the next day.
Yeah, I mean, there's always some doubt comes across when you take a head injury. And, you know, the hit-by-pitch that I had was a lot – it looked a lot worse than it actually was. It clipped the bottom of my helmet and ended up knocking off my glasses and my helmet at the same time. But – luckily it didn't hit me square. I dodged a bullet there and, you know, I was able to go on the next day and play.
Talk about your grandfather and what part he played in getting your career going.
Yeah, my grandfather played fast pitch softball all across the southwest part of the United States. And, he was a catcher. So, when I first got introduced into baseball, he was the one who was kind of pushing me to be a catcher, and you know, he bought me my first catcher's helmet and really was kind of that important role for me to grow into that position.
That'll get you a quick swing, too, if you play that fast pitch softball, won't you? You got to have quick hands to play that.
Yeah, so my grandpa and my college hitting coach, Ray Birmingham, he also played fast pitch softball, so I don't know if you know anything about UNM, but there's always been good hitters coming out of there because of the way that he teaches the baseball swing. It's very compact, it's very tight. You have to be able to hit upwards of more than 100 miles an hour in fast pitch softball.
Yep.
So it's translating well into baseball now.
Ever had a streak like you got now?
Not on this stage, Sid. I've never been able to consistently hit the ball like this on the major league stage, but I've definitely done it in years past.
Mitch, with three catchers on the roster, do you have much of a feel for what the rotations are going to be? Is there a time you might see some action at first base, maybe even in outfield DH? Because obviously you've got a hot bat going right now, and it's you know, somewhat of a pleasant problem as to how to figure to get you the proper number of at-bats.
Yeah, I think that's always a good problem to have, right? Like put that decision on Rocco's table that you've got three catchers that can play and – you know, we can all play multiple positions, and we're all swinging the bat pretty well. So I think we all bring something to the team, and any way you can fit us all into the lineup is a good thing for the club.
I got to tell you, that was crazy at New York because that should have been an advantage pitcher with those cold nights and a couple of aces thrown, and obviously you lit one of them up. Is there something that happened? Is there something that – did you see the ball well? Because it made no sense. It should have been completely pitcher's advantage. You hadn't seen him before, all those things, and you guys looked really good.
Yeah, I think like 1-9, we put up really good at bats against DeGrom, and I think after that first inning, we knew we had a beat on him, and once we got a few runners on base and then popped a few homers, like that's when the confidence really grew, and you know, I think as a lineup, we should be pretty proud of what we did against him because obviously he's one of the best in the game, and you know, I think that should just translate well for the future for us.
How do you like working with this new pitching coach?
I like Wes. Wes is a good dude. He brings a lot of energy to the club, you know, he's young, and this is his first year in the major league, so there is some adjustment period, but he's been good for us. I think the guys are really starting to grow on him, and we've been working well together.
This question probably answers itself, but I have to believe you guys are really looking forward to having some games back to back to back. Nobody in baseball has had more time off than you. It's had to be a little eerie to have off days almost every other day.
Yeah, it's not ideal, obviously. We'd like to kind of start the season off and play as many games as we can in a row save those off days for later on in the summer when the season gets a little long. But you know, it is what it is. We're taking that challenge head on. I think the guys are doing a pretty good job of staying in shape and staying ready and making sure that, you know, when we do play a game, that they're ready to go for that.
This Harper, that's you know, we're just learning about him. You worked with him in spring training and whatnot, and it sounded, listening to the game yesterday with Dan and Corey, like he broke a couple curveballs off and left a couple guys standing. They hadn't seen it before. What has he got? What's his makeup like? Because he's closed as much as anybody.
You talking about Harper?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Harper. He's, you know, he throws a lot of strikes, and he knows what he's trying to do out on the mound. He's got two different curveballs. One of them is about 68 miles an hour. The other one's about 75, and they both look the exact same. So, I mean, as a hitter, it's got to be tough to try to recognize the difference between the two. And then he's got a fastball that he can run up, you know, mid 80s to lower 90s.
How do you like the idea of having three catchers?
It's, you know, as long as I'm in the major leagues and helping this team out win, it's okay by me.
Mitch, obviously this week you guys have played through, last year was something else, and this year you've gotten a little of that cold weather taste again. What's that like? Because you guys went east, you didn't go west, you didn't go south to start the season. You've kind of played in the cold throughout. Does that wear you down at all? Is there anything that you do precaution-wise or things that you can do to play through the cold?
Honestly, I kind of forgot what it's like to play in warm weather.
Yeah, I guess that helps, huh?
Right now. So, I mean, everybody takes into account in different ways. Some guys, you know, they use hand warmers, or they you see them wearing the face mask or whatever. But as long as there's no wind, I think the cold doesn't bother us as much as the wind does. So, I mean, obviously it'd be ideal to start the season off in Florida and play Miami and move up to Atlanta and make those trips early. But it is what it is.
Mitch, you've had a number of different lineups in a very short season so far. When do you learn if you're in the starting lineup? Is it when you come to the park in the morning? Do you have a pretty good indication the night before? At what point do you know, okay, I'm going?
You know, Rocco's been pretty good about that. Usually it's the night before you kind of know where you're going to be in the lineup or if you're catching. In my case, if you're catching or not. So that's good help for us. We get a lineup before the next day's game, and then – you know, you show up to the field and you're ready and you know where you're playing, and you can take your training and your treatment and other things into consideration when you know the lineup.
Has the batting coach worked with you a lot lately?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Batting coach.
Batting coach. How much have you worked with the batting coach?
Oh, been working a lot with James. This is my third year, you know, kind of getting to know him. So we know each other well, and I think we work together well, and he knows my tendencies, and you know, I'm never afraid to take a little criticism from him if he sees something off, and that's what you need out of a hitting coach, is somebody who can tell you, you know, what they really see as opposed to just telling you what you want to hear.
Mitch Carver, thanks for being on the air. We'll get your certificate to Murray's Restaurant, the best taken down. We'll mail it to you in care of the Twins. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sid. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
We're back. Mike, I was joking with you. You brought up the Final Four. It seemed an eternity ago.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so much going on.
And Fenton, who we had on, he had his press conference on Tuesday. That seems like forever ago. And then the Timberwolves finished their season on Wednesday, and that seems like forever ago. This has been for an April. Between the Minnesota United opening the stadium and the Twins coming back home and everything else, this has been something else. But the Wolves, they got some decisions to make now. They posted the job for president of basketball operations. I think they're going to take a good hard look at Chauncey Billups. I think Calvin Booth, who moved on from the Wolves to Denver, is going to get some play there and others. And I think Billups is going to be highly thought of and considered for that position. And then the question will be, do you get to name the coach? Do you get to what happens next?
Yeah, because, I mean, there are coaching things going on in the NBA
Victor Staff got fired. David Yeager
got fired.
Ties.
I mean, two guys that you can make an argument for with Minnesota ties. When you sit on the sidelines while you're searching for your head of basketball operations, these guys, you know, it doesn't take long. We've already seen people released and hired by somebody else in over a 24-hour period.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix short of things. Memphis blew their thing up and reconfigured it. Everybody, these moving parts. New Orleans has got their GM coming from Cleveland. All these people are moving really quickly on this, and obvious. I saw Coach Thibodeau at the championship game as well. He looked relaxed.
You got the Lakers situation. Walton's
Luke
gone.
Walton's out. Magic Johnson's. But the Wolves. It's hard to paint. You know, I talked to Derrick Rose the other day, and it's just hard to paint an optimistic picture right now because I don't know where they. I don't know how you decide on Rose. Jeff Teague, you can try to trade for, you know, for somebody on salary cap with relief after next year is about the only thing you got to offer. But you have no idea when he's a great player. You got no idea when he's going to play.
No, it's absolutely true. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, Rick Spielman will talk Viking football right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, time to talk Viking football. Michael, you set things up, so good morning, Rick Spielman.
Rick, you haven't called me yet, so I assume that you haven't quite fine-tuned as to who you – I always say don't call me till you narrow it down to four or five guys.
After we get down to 400 or 500, if you're still on that, then we'll call.
How's it go? What's this process like the last 3 weeks for – or last – I guess since the season ended for you guys. How do you pare it down?
Yeah, it's been a grind, but it's the most exciting time of the year. This is the time of year you get to – best chance of improve your football team. You know, the coaches have been working extremely hard on making adjustments from schematic standpoints with the new offense going in. You know, we've been getting ready for the draft prep and the UFA. So we started our final meetings last week, and we got two more weeks to go until we finalize that board. But very exciting time of year, and it's even more exciting because our players start trickling in tomorrow to start our off-season program.
How much do you think the offensive linemen that you've signed are going to help you and give you more depth in the offensive line?
Yeah, no, we wanted to build the depth up in the offensive line. From a schematic standpoint, we may be looking for a little different type of offensive lineman than we have in the past. So some of the guys that we have signed fit what we're going to do from a schematic standpoint, and we've been really honing in on the draft picks because I believe there's a lot of good offensive linemen in this draft, and you're going to get some great value throughout the draft that are going to fit the traits we're looking for to fit in the scheme that we're going to be running.
Rick, as you look at what other people think you're going to do, the position of tight end comes up from time to time. Tell us where you think you currently sit at the tight end position.
Well, yeah, no, we got Kyle Rudolph and Damon Morgan's our blocking tight end. And Conklin we drafted last year, who's kind of a little bit of a combination guy. So when you look at these tight ends in the draft, some of them are blocking tight ends. Some of them are complete, can do a little bit of both. And then some of them are mismatch type guys. So as we go through the tight end position and we start talking in the draft, we have to marry up to what the coaches are looking for. Are they looking for more of a traditional Y on the line of scrimmage tight end? Are they looking for what we call an F or an H that can go out and create mismatches with safeties and with linebackers? So we're going through that process now because I think there you'll see a mixture of those type of guys coming up in this draft.
Rick, what have your impressions been of Gary Kubiak and the new offensive coaches when you sit in the room with them?
Very smart, very easy to work with, great knowledge, great understanding, along with Kevin Stefanski on what they want to accomplish on offense and what type of players they're looking for on offense. So it's been really, really, I can't tell you how well it's gone since those guys have come on board.
Using the offensive linemen that are available in the draft are ready to play right away.
I think as we go through each individual, there are guys that are ready to step in and play right now, we believe. There are guys that may take a little time, but halfway through the year or year two, they may be better than the ones that are going to step in and play right now. So as we sit there and talk about each offensive lineman individually, you know, we're trying to determine not only can they fit us from a schematic standpoint, but are they first-day starters when they walk in the door? Is he a little bit of project that will take some time but has tremendous upside? So we're talking through and going through all that process right now.
Rick, in the past few years, the running back position has been downgraded in importance according to a lot of different people. How do you feel your position at the running back right now, and where does that fit into your draft plans?
Well, in you know, Dalvin Cook, we feel, is one of the most explosive running backs in the game. And, you know, he's got to keep him on the field. Losing Latavius Murray, who was not only an excellent football player for us, but a different type of back than Dalvin, but a great individual who I can't tell you what a true professional he was. We were able to sign Amir Abdullah back. We had a couple of young guys that we like, and Brock Thomas and Mike Boone. But we'll look through the draft. I think there's always value. We found the two young kids last year as college free agents. So I think that as we go through the draft, there's one or two there. At specific points in the draft, we'll definitely take a peek at it.
You know, I was asking an offensive line coach about this, Rick, and I was saying, what, you know, they always talk about the big difference between college and pros. In college, they stand up, and he said, what you got to look for when you look at offensive linemen, if it translates into the NFL, is can they bend? Because they haven't had to bend a lot in college. Is that oversimplifying it, or is that what you have to figure out?
Try to figure out through the workouts. And, you know, the one thing about this year's offensive line class is a lot of those guys participated in postseason bowls, like the Senior Bowl. Some of them were at the East-West game. So you got an opportunity to actually see them play in an offense where they're going to have to get in a three-point stance. So they're going to have to come off and run block because a lot of times, you know, these guys are in two-point stance the whole time during the game, and 80% of the time they're probably run block or pass blocking. And when they do run block, they never have to fire out. They kind of catch and mirror. So those are all the things that you try to hopefully identify through this pre-draft process.
Who's going to replace Cheryl as a kick returner?
Well, that's, you know, something that we have to look at. We have a couple candidates on the roster right now. And we'll also may be able to address that at some point in the draft as well. But Marcus was, you know, you just can't replace a guy like that. And not only, like, again, another player that was great for us on the field and a great success story on how we found him, but also an even better human being.
Yeah, one of the quietest players that I ever covered. He's such a nice young man, and he never did anything to disrupt the locker room or anything else. He was just so quiet and about his business, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, but he was that by example. But the other thing too is I can't mention that, you know, because he comes from such a great family and his brother and everything his brother had gone through. They're just great people, and it was a tough loss for us.
Will the signing of Thielen help you with the salary cap?
I don't even want to look at the salary cap. I don't even know there is one. Is there a salary cap we got to deal with? With Rob. No, we've kind of, like I said, all the way back, and when we start meeting in October and November, we kind of anticipate things coming up. So as we plan, but from a budgetary standpoint and a cap standpoint, this is something that's all done and been done over the past 6 or 8 months. So we know from a planning purpose where we need to be, from a cash purpose and from a cap standpoint. So we just execute the plan as we go. And like I've said earlier, all this stuff doesn't get done in one day or the first day of free agency or this and that. This is an evolution that takes time throughout the year. And we have a history of that. Like we've got Adam Dunn before the off-season program began. But last year, we were able to get three big extensions done during the summer. So whenever that time comes, it kind of works its way in. But, you know, it's not something that's done on day one when you got to be under the cap for the league year. But this is a thing that we've talked about and discussed thoroughly with our ownership, with myself and Rob and our staff. And we came up and developed this type of plan that's able to do things like contracts we're doing.
Do you have enough money to sign the draft charges right now?
No, that's why Mike Max and Dave and you are going to all come into play. We're not going to sign a college free agent. We're going to have to go deep into the radio row.
You're looking for some minimum contracts, you're saying.
And we are nothing if not negotiable.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Rick, thank you so much. We know it's a busy week. Sid?
Rick Spellman, always a pleasure to have you in the air. And for being on the air, we'll get your MERS certificate. Thank you very much.
Hey, guys, remember, minimum is our friend.
You always tell me that.
All right, Rick, we'll send you our unlisted numbers. Thanks so much. All right, that's Rick Spielman. Back with more right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back. We'll give you a little update here on the Masters. The rain is about an hour and 15 minutes away is what they're saying. They're moving things along pretty well for a major tournament. I haven't seen things go this fast maybe ever before. We're nearing the halfway point this morning. Molinari through 8 is 13 under. Tiger Woods moved up. He's 12 under through 8. Brooks Koepka is 11 under through 9. And Tony Finau is 11 under through 8 holes. So the leaders, there's the four of them within two strokes of each other. Woods one down and Molinari currently. We'll keep you up to speed. Trevor Hildenberger of the Minnesota Twins bullpen. The very active and very effective so far bullpen joins us. Trevor, what's your opinion of the season so far? It just seems so weird, you guys having so many off days, but when you've played, the bullpen is, by most accounts, has been very effective.
Yeah, you know, a lot of off days in April is a blessing and a curse. We had an off day in every road city, which is nice. You know, explore Kansas City, Philadelphia, New York, and even here, it's been nice to have that off time and kind of relax and explore. But at the same time, you want to get in a rhythm as a team and as a pitcher and get consistent work. And you know that there's only a certain amount of off days in the whole season, and you kind of like them in the second half, maybe in August. But, you know, you take what you can get.
What about the mental approach when you're a relief pitcher? You don't know if you're going to go in or when you go in. What is the mental approach?
Yeah, it's tough, especially when you're unsure when you're going to pitch. As a reliever, I got to be ready every single day. So I got to have the same mental approach every day I come to the ballpark, and that approach is I'm going to pitch that day. You have to prepare every single day like you're in the game. So I do the same arm care routine, same stretching routine. I warm up in the same inning down in the bullpen. Like I do all my exercises to get my body ready. Maybe a little bit more when it's really cold outside. Drink a little hot apple cider, and I'm good to go.
Hot apple cider is that's the beverage of choice right now, huh?
Yeah, apparently that keeps your core temperature warmer longer than
really.
So your body spends less energy to keep your body warm when you drink hot apple cider. So.
Well, but and then you transfer to Gatorade when it gets hot or what?
Yeah, Gatorade or ice water. It's brutal drinking cold water when it's cold outside.
Yes, it is.
How do you like working with this new pitching coach? How much is he different than other pitching coach you've had?
It's been great working with Wes and Hef. I think that they're very prepared and they come with a plan every single day and they talk to you and communicate that plan to you for what part of the lineup they think I will face, who I match up well against, and what pitches I could throw maybe first pitch, and then from there it's kind of up to me. But he's very communicative and he's very approachable, and he's a little bundle of energy, so it's been great.
Do you watch tape with catchers or with Wes or with someone else on the? What's the routine as you go over the opposing hitters and develop a plan?
So they send us video on a little app that we could watch on our iPad or our iPhone at home, and I usually do that at night alone. If I wanted to watch with catchers or with a coach, we could do that at the field. I think Rogers does that, but that's not really my approach. I like to watch them on my own and then look at written scouting reports, which is just written down on a little chart of maybe a hitter's weaknesses and a hitter's strengths. And then I already know my strengths and weaknesses, and I can kind of match up and see where and how I'm going to attack somebody.
You know, Trevor, I heard Jim Cott talking, I think it was with Chad a couple weeks ago, about when he became a reliever late in his career as a left-handed reliever at the time. He'd go into a series, he'd go, okay, I got to get Al Oliver out, or whoever their top left-handed hitters were. That's who he'd focus on. He'd put all his time on that. Do you get that detailed? Then do you go, okay, I know who they're going to want me to face. I know if it's an inning or a one out, who they're looking at me to get. Do you break it down in that detail?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes if I know that there's a big power right-handed hitter that they want me to match up against, then I prepare for him specifically. Sometimes it's a stretch of a lineup, maybe four or five hitters that I think I match up well against. And sometimes I don't know anything. So it's kind of just play by ear.
Talk about your college career as a pitcher. Who helped you a lot and so on?
Yeah, I played college ball at University of California, Berkeley. My pitching coach there was Mike New. He was the one that helped me transition from over the top to sidearm and learn my sidearm delivery. And now he's the head coach at Cal. So we're still in contact, and I go back there once or twice in off season and say hi and see everybody. So we have a nice personal relationship, and I thank him for all he did for me.
Trevor, you're sitting on top of your division. I think the team has played as well or better than any of the experts predicted. What's the feeling in the clubhouse about this team?
It's good. We're positive. We're all getting along, and we're all together. I think there's been a couple games so far that I think maybe we lose last year, but we've had some luck and some clutch hitting. A couple games in Kansas City where we came back and won in late innings against a bullpen, and then a close game on the road in Philadelphia. And those are the tight games. A game last night, one-run game against a divisional opponent, and we come through and shut the door. Our bullpen shut the door. And to be able to win those close games against division opponents and good teams like Philadelphia, that's a really, really good sign.
Yeah, Detroit's a funny team. They're playing really well right now. And I don't think they have a guy hitting over 260, but they put some things together. Their pitching's been pretty good. And when you guys had the bases loaded and nobody out yesterday and weren't able to add on to the lead, you go, but that's where the bullpen's got to come in. We always talk about picking you up on the back half inning, and that's what you guys did yesterday.
100%. You know, a good team, a playoff team, playoff caliber team, picks each other up. When the hitters maybe leave the bases loaded, the bullpen shuts the door. When the bullpen maybe gives up a run or two, the hitters pick us up and answer right back. So, like yesterday, we gave up two, I think, in the top of the third. We came right back in the bottom of the third and scored three or four. So it's been great.
Trevor Hildenberger, thank you very much for appearing on this show. And for being on the show, we'll get you a certificate to Murray's Restaurant, the best steakhouse in town. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it, Sid. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Trevor Hildenberger back with more Sports Talk right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, guys, we've got a couple minutes to talk here, something we haven't had all morning so far. I want to go back to the Gopher spring game because Sid's tape with PJ was before the game. Didn't have a chance to talk about it. I had a chance to watch it on the Big Ten Network. After that, I'm about as impressed with the Gopher football team as I've been in the last 10 years at this stage, Mike. When they get inside the 10-yard line, they're going to be fascinating. Last year, they introduced Seth Green inside the 10-yard line, which made them very hard to defend from in close. I'm sure we're going to see Daniel Falele at some time during the year. And I mean, he's bigger than Refrigerator
Perry. The old refrigerator treatment.
We're going to see that during the year. Can you imagine? You put him in, then you shift from him along the line. Don't give the other team a chance to move and run him from 6 yards in. He was hit by three guys last night. It didn't make any difference. He ran he just dragged them all into the end zone. Looked like it was no effort at all.
Looked like that was one of those things. They said, listen, big guy, we're going to give you a shot this spring because we've got to dress this thing up a little bit. Now, they played it inside, which was really they don't draw anything for that game anyway. Some teams use it as a revenue source. They don't, so they could play it inside and not have to worry about it not being a TCF Bank Stadium. The fact that they've had a lot of repetition. Now, this is their third spring under this coaching staff already. That makes a big difference when you know what you're doing and all those things. And spring games are always funny because if somebody played well, then that means somebody on the other side didn't play well. And so, you know, how you judge it is always subjective too. Well, if they completed a lot of passes, then what was wrong with your defensive backs? I was getting kicked out. I was watching the Alabama spring game and they Crimson beat the white. Well, that means nothing to you.
No.
And yesterday, Maroon beat gold.
Well, we were picking Alabama all the way.
All the way. See, although in the South, man, those spring games are something, aren't they?
Huge. Oh. Sid, did you have a chance to watch a Big Ten Network coverage of the Gopher inter-squad game yesterday?
Yeah, I watched it.
What'd you think?
Yesterday, I couldn't go to the Gopher game. I watched it on TV.
Sure.
Quinton Hartman had his 18th birthday yesterday, so Chad had a big birthday party for him out of Mystic Lakes.
Oh, okay.
And
fun.
It was a big, big birthday for him. So for him, I had to be there. So I didn't go to the Gopher game, but I watched it on TV. You can't tell anything on that stuff.
Well, they're a lot more athletic. There's just no question. Their offensive line, their first-team offensive line, is going to be really, really good. I think they've got two quarterbacks. It's going to be hard to choose. I think they're relatively equal. They're both just sophomores. I was impressed with the third quarterback, Clark, the kid from Texas last night. I think he looks really good.
The schedule is so much in their favor. They don't play Michigan State, don't play Ohio State. And then they get Penn State at a home. And how could they have a more favorable schedule?
Well, they've got one of the hardest preseason schedules in the Big Ten. But even at that, I think they should be relatively heavy favored in every one of those games.
Yeah, I ran to Craig Thompson, the commissioner.
Oh, sure, he'd
Fresno
know.
State is under his ran him at the Final Four, and he says Fresno really get a good time to play him because they got hit hard by graduation. Good coach, Teffler there, but he said it's going to take them a while to get on their feet. So he said Minnesota's going to get them at a good time.
Yeah, Georgia Southern is the same situation there. Another, a little bit same offense as Georgia
Bob
Tech.
Bob DeBess, I believe, is their offensive coordinator. There's a name from the past.
So what happened with Georgia Tech when they ran him against the Gopher defense? So I think it's going to be a good year for Gopher football, and I'm not sure how much they learned yesterday, but I think the Gopher fans had liked what they had to see. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to have open phone lines one and maybe two times, so stay tuned. I'll announce that one segment ahead of time. You can get lined up. It's been a couple of weeks since we've had a chance to take your phone calls. I've already had some text messages. Hey, you guys gonna be able to take phone calls today? Yes, we will. And you can pick the topic. We haven't really talked that much about the Twins. We'll talk a little more about that. I would invite your Twins related phone calls in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll have one or two guests. We'll also make sure that we let you know well in advance when we're ready to hear from you. So get ready with your questions and don't let us down. We'll be back in about 7.5 minutes. Right now, we'll give you an update on the Masters. For now, you are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.